It's a much more pleasant feeling today to look out over the audience than it was last week. Someone asked how I was feeling. I said, well, I praise God because, and I thank you for your prayers as well on my behalf. It was rather quick, and I try to do the things I need to recover from things, but the biggest thing I try to do is talk to God about it, and appreciate that. I saw Richard come in, and it's funny because just yesterday I said to Linda, I haven't seen Richard in a long time. It had not been necessary that long, but I just didn't seem like I'd seen him in a long time, and I'm glad that he came to be with us this morning. I do not have all those pictures and stuff that Roger had, so mine's not going to be that. Roger talked about headless religion. We're going to continue this thought with a little different twist. Remember the movie The Oz, The Wizard of Oz, rather, the Tin Man didn't have a heart, and so that's not possible to not have a physical heart. You don't live. That's can't do it. During heart surgery, you know, do a heart transplant or whenever they're taking the heart out to do something, they have to put up some kind of a pump in there to pump blood through our system. So to be heartless is to be without life. And we talk about people being heartless, and we're not talking about the fact that they actually literally don't have a heart. We're talking about the fact about something else. Of course, in the Bible, it's used in various ways, and it can be talking about the physical heart at least once, not very many times. Maybe in that case, and I'm just going to say that. But it's typically talking about the mind, the soul, or the emotional part of our mind. It depends on the circumstance when it's used. We're going to talk about religion without and with the Bible heart. We're going to talk about heartless religion to go on with his headless religion. And you know, you've seen this how many times. People will talk about what they believe is their religious life, and they'll pound themselves here and they go, this feeling that I have right here, and I'm like, you don't really have any feeling right there. If you do, it all originated up here, because whatever's causing this to work down here, like Roger said, you whack this off, and this down here don't work. And the only reason we kind of, I guess, humans have through the years, and even the Bible has used it, is because anytime something happens to us, we feel it right here. Because if we're excited or anything else, that heart just starts beating faster. But you know why? Because what's happening up here, not down here. When we think about this in Matthew 15, 7 and 8, he said, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Are you starting to realize why I didn't put a bunch of pictures up here? It'd be pretty, you thought his was gross. Now, that would not be beneficial to anybody in this room at all. So, when we talk about the Bible heart, the Greek word, cardia, we understand that word. Of course, that's the English-sized version of that again. It's used 160 times in the New Testament. It is a pretty powerful subject matter, isn't it? For God to use it that many times, we take this word and we then talk about this heart. So, I thought that was interesting that we took a Greek word and we put a C there, right? And again, not the language, but it's a word we use. The word heart is used over 700 times in the Bible. I said maybe this one time, 1 Samuel 25:37. I tried to look at all of them. Now, did I? Can I say for a fact? No. But this is about Nabal, and it said that God, that night, his heart became hard and he died. Meaning, I believe that God caused him to die because of his evilness. He was not a good man. So when we think about this, God's even said to have a heart. In Genesis 6:6, he looks out over mankind, and this is what it says. In verse 6 it says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Meaning that in the mind of, not like our mind. Our mind, by the way, is around 3 pounds. It's not very big. But in that 3 pounds is everything that causes the rest of us to function. It's just hard for us to understand that and realize that and know that. It is an amazing organ. It is beyond anything that we can imagine. So God's heart, God's mind is way beyond that, the Bible tells us. But he grieves over sin, just like any human should if they look out at sin. It says that God makes decisions with his heart. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma, talking about when Noah had offered a sacrifice to him after he came out of the ark. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil. contrasting his own heart, which was not evil, and the fact that he, again, looking out for the good of man and being very gracious, would never again destroy human beings with a flood over the whole earth. He said even that, and he said evil from his youth, meaning that when people get of a certain age, their heart becomes evil. What does that mean? It means we don't seek out God usually. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And then also it tells about a comparison. It says that David was a man after God's own heart, after God's own mind. He was a man who followed God. He was following God. He believed in the head, and he understood that. We find then from this heart comes some reasoning ability, that we can have some intellect there. And in Exodus 36, it'll actually use it two different ways about the heart. In 36:2, Moses called Elzal and Lohabib, and each gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. So not only was the intellect there, it lets us know, just as Brad prayed, that in our minds is everything that God has made us what we are. That if we have ability, it came from God. We can use it or choose not to use it. These men had wonderful abilities. But it had to be stirred within themselves to use that. It was their choice. Did they want to do what God said or not? Well, it turns out they were stirred to do it. Where? Here, in their heart. We talked last week about pure religion. There's a big difference between pure religion and the type of religion that God does not want. But in Acts 5, verse 4, these people didn't understand about pure religion. So the reasoning, we find the one group here wanted to do what God said. They were stirred in their heart. They understood their abilities came from God. But these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, just the opposite. They recognized that God had given them all these things, but they chose to lie about their religion. They chose to use it differently. And in their intellect, they figured out that we'll just tell people that we did this. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but God. So we can clearly see that the heart can be used one of two different ways. We've got choice with our understanding, our reasoning, and our intellect. We can do what God wants us to do, exactly what He wants us to do or not. The motions come from there. They were stirred again in Exodus 35 to give of their means, to help build the tabernacle and the things that were there. In Acts 7:54, an entirely different emotion came out in people from their heart. In Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed him with their teeth, the Bible says. So, what's our response? The emotions come from there. How do we control them? What do we do with them? How do we exercise them? In Acts 21, Paul would talk about it again. And you know how many times I've heard people in my life use this term. Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart?" Well, Paul's saying it broke his heart here? No, he's just simply saying he felt it here because when we get really sad, it's like our heart has to pump that much harder to get blood to go. But we just are so sad. And he's saying, "You're breaking my heart." You know, because of the way they were concerned about him going away and they knew he was going to die. In 1 Samuel 17, David would tell them to get courage, to get strength. Do this. So courage comes from here. Just some thoughts about the heart. So now let's talk about, if that's the case, what is heartless religion then? Just like with headless religion, what's heartless religion? Well, heartless religion is when one follows their own thoughts. When they have not put God in there, when they have, my life, my religion, which is my life, the way I live it, on the basis of what I want to believe in, when I'm following my own thoughts, 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. What you have here is part in this with God. In their heart, they put themselves first. In their heart, they wanted to live their lives the way they wanted to live their lives. In their mind, someone was talking recently and wondered where some of the thoughts came in their mind and wondered if Satan put some there because they just couldn't believe that some of those thoughts would enter their mind. And I thought, well, you know, when we think about this for a moment, where do thoughts enter our mind? What causes us to think about things? I was really impressed when reading about the mind as well, some things about it and why we have dreams and why they suppose we have dreams. It is arranging the day's thoughts and putting them up there and actually in order of some sort. And it just doesn't sound right because the dreams don't seem like that would do that with the day. But then you think about a lot of your dreams and it is because of things we've experienced that we have those dreams. Heartless religion, when we think we know more than God. You know, one of the problems with human beings is we can have the written Word of God. You can actually read it. You can say, this is exactly what God said we need to do today. And people come back and say, well, now wait. I've got this idea. I believe. I think. And they go with it. Let me give you an example of this. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. They had a strong was lifted up. When this man got power, when he was the head over Israel, he understood that he was the power. But he was... For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Why? Wasn't he trying to do something good? Wasn't that something he figured out would be a good thing for him to do? Well, he's king. Why not go in there and offer? Wouldn't God be pleased with that? So Azariah, the priest, went in after him. And with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And I'm telling you, when I read this story, every time it runs chills down me, to think of the courage of these 81 men. And why? Because they cared about this man. They didn't want him, but they cared more about God. They understood there's no authority to do what he did. They thought they knew more. He thought he knew more than God, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord." What? Why wouldn't it be right? It wasn't right because God told who was to do it, but for the priest, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Not just any priest, but the high priest. You are not that. You shouldn't be doing it. I don't care who you think you are. No one has the right to take the authority away from God. No one has the right to on their own how they want to do things. If there's no authority, don't do it. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah became furious. He didn't repent. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense. How many times would Abe Martin have broken out in leprosy, if God struck me the same way He did him for wanting to do my own will and determining I know better than God? It is heartless when it's superficial, when there is nothing to it. It is only being said and not done. I can come here every week. I can sit back there in that seat and I can just make myself appear to be one that's really following God. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how much I do. He said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. What did he mean by that? He knew exactly what. These Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and all of these people who claim to be religious, these scribes, all of these Jews, except for the ones that actually tried to follow him. Every other one was doing what they thought, and they were honoring God, and they were coming before God and saying, "Oh Lord God." And they were wearing their scriptures on them, and they were doing all these things, and they were praying in front of people, and every bit of that, what did Christ say? You're doing it to be seen of men. The truth is, if my life, my religion, is to be seen of men, it is heartless. It has nothing. There's no mental acknowledgement of God, and my heart is far from Him. Or when I actually honor the things of this life, like He talks about in Romans, or when people wouldn't acknowledge God, and the first thing they did was went after their own lust, didn't they? They served the Creator. Well, when I get to that point, I'm going to serve me. In 2 Peter 2, 10 through 14, and especially those, and he's talking about those who claimed to be following God. And I'll show you in just a minute, they were there in their midst. And especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. Their heart is with them, not with God. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, that is, the beings from above. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil, not understand, will utterly perish in their own corruption. Talking about things we have no idea about. I've heard people make statements about things in heaven and other places we have no idea about. The Bible does not reveal it. But they think so. And we receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, I think spiritual in this case, that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. When we want to please ourselves and when covetousness sets in and I suddenly want to do what I want to do based on my desires, there's no heart in it anymore for God. Anytime evil is present. Anytime. What did Peter tell Simon when he tried to buy the gift of God's money? Therefore, of this thy wickedness, if... Where'd this originate? The thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Where do I need first? So that I will act accordingly if I truly do repent. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Or it may be when the heart is blinded. In Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, this I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having standing darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Is he saying these people could not see? Not. They could see with their mind, they could understand their heart, but they chose not to do it. They put the blinders on. They didn't want to see it. We never want to be like this. We want to be like this. We want to have a heart religion, a head religion. We want a religion that originally came from God. You know, sometimes when the heart's functioning right, do some things about it. God's blessed us in this time to be able to do it. I know some of you are going, boy, you are ancient. Transplant. So, you know, and I was. It was just amazing to me that you could do that. You could take someone else's heart and put it in this person. You could actually, the brain would cause that heart to beat. Or they could put an artificial one in there and it would last for a little while. But there's nothing works like the heart, is there? Nothing. There's no such thing as a brain transplant. I know it's been tried before. It doesn't work real well. It was in a movie, Frankenstein. But anyway, when we think about this, there needs to be a change of heart. We need this old heart and a new man. It needs to be something done to it. In Psalm 34:18, you know what God needs? He's near to those broken heart. All of a sudden, I realize before Him and put my head as far down. Something has to change in us. We no longer can be that haughty person that people we looked at previous to this, that we were at one point. Evil has to be removed. You can't have purity and have evil present. Pure water just will not happen. Now that works, isn't it? A little poison will mess up a whole lot of liquid. 4:3-4, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Was David saying in and of himself he could purify his heart? He absolutely knew better than that. Who has not lifted his soul up to an idol or sworn deceitfully? Had David not sinned? David had sinned. How did he get his heart pure again? He offered his sacrifices and he looked forward to the time of Christ. And what has to happen is, to get that to happen, faith's got to enter the heart. It's got to get in here. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must believe. You must believe. You need another head. You need someone to take over your head and do something with it. Take your heart over, if you will. That trust must be in God. 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So that should be enough, correct? All I need to do is live a good life. All I need to do is just trust in God, and all I need to do is have faith. And that'll take me there. Not so. The whole heart's got to be involved in this. I have to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. He didn't want to leave anything out in case you might get confused about the terms here. It is with your whole being you must love God. You must love Him, we found out, by obeying Him. Let's obey. What? Well, headless religion, and it won't be headless religion. I want to obey. 6:17-18, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Why did they obey from the heart? Because faith had entered, trust had entered, and they suddenly realized, I need to obey a form of the doctrine. What was a form of the doctrine? What was the doctrine? Death, burial, and a resurrection. And if I put it on the board, I would have His death, and I would have Him being buried, and then I would have Him rising again. How could I possibly obey from the heart a form of that doctrine? Dead in sin. Need to be buried in baptism to arise a new creature. And that's exactly what He says in Romans 6:1-7. And having been set free then from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, you remember the song, Have You Got a Heart? Well, every living being has a heart. As was pointed out earlier, I think, by Mike, there may be some people who, unfortunately, are born into this world, you know, without all of that. And that's sad to us when we see someone like that, whether it's this heart or this heart. But we really need this heart. And when we think about it, I don't know what happened to the slide there. Have you got a heart? Did I do something with it? Anyway, we are going to use our heart. If you look at it and you think, heartless religion, the Bible is to be without God. We've got to allow God to do the operating on our heart. Where is that said? Well, in Colossians 2:12, the very next verse where Roger used them earlier, all the way down to 11, says, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. If I believe that God can work on me, if I'll obey Him and be immersed in water for the remission of my sins, that final act I need to do, then He will remove all of my sins. If you have any needs, if you want to become a Christian, have that faith in God, let your heart be taken over by God by understanding and knowing His will and then doing it. That's what it takes. If you have any needs, or as a Christian, if you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?